Let's all say praise the Lord. That was weak. Let's all say praise the Lord. Thank you, praise team. What a great job. I thank you so much for the job that you do week in and week out to lead us in worship. And I'll be honest with you, I think you just get better and better every week. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the job that you're doing and the work that you're doing to help lead us in these times of worship. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about how much we love the church. Amen? What was our theme for the last several weeks? I love my church. And we talked about that, and we talked about the implications of that and how important it was and it is for us to really love the church, because there are some really dynamic things that happen because we love the church. But I wanted to do something. I wanted to shift gears just a little bit, because I really want to drive home this whole idea of where we place our faith and what we place our faith in. Now, the church is the vehicle by which we carry out our faith and we carry out God's mission in this world, and that's great. And we love the church because of who instituted the church in the beginning. And that's what I want to point us to in this next series. It's called Fan or Follower. And what I want us to do for the next few weeks is I want us to take a much deeper, harder look at who we are as the church and whether we are really fans of Jesus or we are followers of Jesus. I want to say to you this morning, there is a big difference. And I'm going to spell out that a little bit this morning, and we'll be looking at that the next couple of weeks. These will be pretty hard-hitting messages. So you just, you know, just grab a hold of your seat and hang on. I want to encourage you to invite any friends or family that need to hear a very direct message about Jesus' role in their life. Bring them with you. I want to share this with everybody I can. And so I want you to really pray that God will use this series to touch the lives of many people around us. Because I think it's a day and time that we live that we really need to distinguish where we truly stand in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's of utmost importance in the day and age in which we live to know where we stand with Jesus Christ. One of the things that I wanted to share with you about for just a moment by way of introduction, I asked the first crowd this, and their response was kind of mediocre, but I want to ask you this, and I know we got some younger folks in here this morning in this service, but I want to ask you something. How many of you younger folks especially, how many of you know what the initials DTR stand for? Anybody know? Well, I'm going to tell you, because it's important. DTR stands for Define the Relationship. Define the relationship. You see, it's really important. And you know, I would about bet, I could be wrong, but I would about bet that some of us here this morning, you can think back to the time when you were just really love struck with that person sitting next to you. You know what I'm talking about? You can pick them out. You can just see the way they look at each other. And you know, in those early days, I don't know about you, but, you know, did you ever sit down and have a conversation? And I hope you did, because it's important. But did you ever sit down and have that conversation where, you know what, if we're going to have a relationship, then this relationship needs to be built on, or this relationship, in this relationship, I have certain expectations, or I want you to know that I like, or tell me what you like best about it. Did y'all have these conversations? Did you? Okay. All right, good. And that's important. It's important. And I told the folks in the first service, I said, you know, when I do marriage counseling, when people come to me and they want to get married, I just know enough that I try to talk them out of it to start with. But anyway, you know, one of the things that I tell them that you got to do is you got to talk about expectations. I mean, it can be a bad thing if you go into a marriage and you don't know each other's expectations. I mean, you're headed for trouble. And so I think it's important that we define the relationship. Amen? Define, you remember that, DTR, define the relationship. You're going to hear me refer to that. And just as important, or even more so important, than defining our relationships with one another, is that we need to define our relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah, we need to regularly have a DTR talk with Jesus. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. It's just like in a relationship with each other, in a marital relationship. It's important that you regularly define the relationship. Things change. Amen? I mean, stuff happens. Kids come and all this kind of stuff. And a lot of things happen. And if you don't understand, if you don't have an understanding between the two of you of what the relationship is to look like, then you're going to run into problems. And the same is true in our relationship with Jesus, is that we need to take the time periodically, on a regular basis even, to define the relationship. So over the next few weeks, that's what we're going to be taking a look at. We're going to be examining our relationship with Jesus. And we're going to ask some very pointed questions. And sometimes they might even make us uncomfortable. But I am so convinced as a pastor that these days and times in which we live, we must determine where we stand with Jesus. And so I want to talk about that over the next few weeks. So I want you to just listen in. I want you to really take to heart what I'm going to share with you, because I think this may very well be the most important sermon series I've preached yet since I've been here. And so it's very important. So what I want us to do, first of all, is I want us to look at an invitation that Jesus extended to us, and it's wrapped up in one verse. And you make note of this somewhere. I'm sure I'm going to refer back to this throughout this series. You might want to highlight it in your Bible, draw a circle around it, draw arrows at it, asterisk, whatever, how you want to do it. But highlight this verse, okay? And I want us to look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It should be up here on your screen. You can't see it because the guy that did the slide did it in red and it don't show up. And I did it. I made it. I did it. So, now let me read it to you, okay? Here's what it says, just in case you can't see it. My intentions were good. Jesus said it. You know it's supposed to be in red. Oh, well. But this is what it says, in case you can't read it. It says, then he said, and I think this is important. It says, then he said to the crowd. Now, I want you to get the picture, okay? He said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my, can you read it? What's it say? Follower. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, when? Daily, and what? Follow me. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Memorize that verse. Hang on to it at least for the next 3 or 4 weeks, okay? 5 weeks maybe. I think in reality that many of us here this morning, maybe all of us here this morning, we really need to have the DTR talk. And we need to do that on a regular basis. You know why? Because I believe, and I got to believe, and I've talked to enough of you to know and get the feeling that all of us, many of us, are ready to go to a deeper level in our commitment with Christ. And it's just, it should be part of the natural growing cycle of our spiritual lives, is that we just want to grow. We want to go deeper. We want to go further. We just want to do everything we can in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And really, even though sometimes it's challenging and it can be painful, I think one of the best things that we can do is to regularly have this DTR talk with Christ. And so this morning, I want us to answer this question. And of course, this is kind of the key question throughout this series, is for us to ask ourselves, are you a fan or are you a follower? Are you a fan or are you a follower? Now, some of us would be quick throughout the church today, not just here, but throughout the church. I guarantee you that if you went into most churches and you ask, people say, well, why are you asking me this question? You know we're all followers of Jesus, right? Well, that's why we're here, right? Well, don't jump to the answer too quickly, so hear me out, okay? The word fan is defined as an enthusiastic admirer. An enthusiastic admirer. We're all fans of different things, right? I shared this morning, we're in football season. And you know, we're most all of us in our right minds are Carolina Panthers fans, right? Well, with the exception of a few, I'm just picking. Ray's looking at me with those eagle eyes up there. But we're all fans of something. We're all, you know, we're Patriots fans, we're Panthers fans, we're Eagles fans, or whatever. Whatever persuasion you might be. But we're all fans of something. Many of us are sports fans. But you know what? My concern is, and that's fine, and I'm a huge Carolina Panthers fan, and I love the Panthers. I love watching them play. I love cheering them on. I love watching the games. And I'm just a big fan. But you know what? As much fun as it is to be a fan, an enthusiastic admirer, my concern is that the church has the potential to become a stadium full of fans of Jesus. And Jesus doesn't call us to be fans. He doesn't call us to be just an admirer. And so when I think about the tendency that we have far too many times in the church to be a fan more so than a follower, that alarms me. And I think this is a challenge that needs to go out to the church today, that we're not here to be a stadium of fans, but we are here to be followers of Jesus Christ. And I understand that maybe there's even some here today, you're really big fans. I mean, you enjoy coming to church. You carry your Bible. You know, you still look up the scripture in your Bible and you look around, see if you can get there faster than everybody else. You know what I'm talking about? And you know, we become fans, and you're big fans of Jesus. And being a fan is pretty good, but you know, we can feel pretty good about ourselves because we're these great admirers of Christ. But I'll tell you, Jesus never cared about having fans. He never cared about having fans. So if we'll be honest with ourselves, if we'll really search our hearts and begin to define our relationship with Jesus, I want to share how you do that in three questions this morning in this message. Three questions. First one, write it down. Why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here? You know, there's different points in Scripture where Jesus in His ministry would basically draw a line in the sand. And the line would separate the fans from the followers. I think one great example is in John chapter 6. And if you look in John chapter 6, we're not going to go back there and read it, but you know the story. Jesus really is at the height of His ministry. You read that there were large crowds that were following Jesus. He was very popular. He was working miracles. He was providing food from just 5 loaves of bread and a few fish. And a lot of people in the crowd were following Jesus around. But then Jesus, in verse 2, realizes why they were coming. He basically told them, said, you're coming because of the miracles. You're coming because of the food. You know, it's been a joke in the church for a long time, if you feed them, they will come. I guess the same thing was happening in Jesus' day. But they were coming for the miracles. They were coming for the food. They were coming for the show. They were coming for the spectacle. And they didn't care as much about the teaching, about the life-changing lesson. They were there for the show. So why are you here? What is your, if I were to ask you why you're here and you start out because, what's your because? What's my because? What's your because? It'd be easy for somebody like me to say, well, because it's my job. That's not terribly spiritual, is it? What is your because? If you answer the question, why are you here, what is your because? What's your because? Because of this, because of that, because the seats are comfortable, because you like the music, because you like to chit-chat, you like to catch up, so your kids can make friends. Is it because somebody else just expects you to do it? What's your because? See, that can be okay for a while, but at some point in time, you've got to have the DTR talk. You see, Jesus challenges fans to a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him. And in verse 66 in John 6, here is where we read these words. This is where the message of Jesus separated the fans from the followers. And in verse 66 it says this, from this time many of His disciples turned back and no longer followed Him. At this time, many of His disciples turned back and no longer followed Him. You see, there was a lot of folks who went home because Jesus wanted to have the DTR talk. He wanted to define the relationship. And I want to say to us this morning, church, we better be coming for a whole lot more than just the show. We better be coming for a whole lot more than just to catch up. We better be coming for a whole lot more than whatever else it is beside Jesus. Amen. We need to define their relationship. The second question is this then. Once you define the relationship, the second question is a good follow-up. Are you all in? And I'm sorry, that's so difficult to see. Are you all in? That's my fault. Are you all in? Okay? Are you all in? Why are you here? And since you're here, are you all in? You see, the truth is, folks, listen. We don't always like this, and it's sometimes unsettling for us. But being a follower of Jesus requires complete commitment. It requires complete commitment. A follower of Jesus will do whatever it takes to follow Jesus. They're absolutely loyal, completely committed. Now, on the whole, we don't do too well with absolute commitment sometimes, do we? It doesn't work well and bode well in our culture these days. I think what we prefer instead is a selective commitment. Simply put, we kind of customize even Christianity. And we take our relationship with Jesus and say, well, I'm okay with following Jesus, but I want to kind of pick and choose how that works out in my life. You know, don't ask me to forgive that person that hurt me. Don't ask me to give up that grudge I've been carrying. Don't ask me to let go of that resentment. I'm not going to let go of that bitterness. I deserve to hang on to that. I'll follow Jesus, but don't talk to me about my time and my talents and my treasures. You know, I work hard for the money. Sounds like a good song, doesn't it? I work hard for the money. So don't ask for me to make sacrifices. Yeah, I want to follow Jesus, but don't stop me from getting what I want. I'll follow Jesus, but only in the areas that are comfortable. The things that I agree with. But the question remains, are you all in? Are you all in? Well then, you've just defined the difference between a follower and just a fan. There's not an option of selective commitment. It's not a possibility. There's no bargaining. There's no bartering. When you decide to become a follower of Jesus Christ, you've got to go all in. Fans don't like the idea of going all in. They're not wild about having to make sacrifices or about having to deny themselves of something they desire or they crave. So what is it? Let me ask a question here this morning. And I don't pretend to know everything there is to know about everybody in the church. I don't. I can't. And I really, it's okay if I don't. But let me ask us this question this morning. What is there that might be holding you back from committing fully to God? What is it? What is it that's pulling you back from making a complete commitment to Jesus Christ? What area? Well, maybe this is something. What area of your life is off limits right now to God? You just don't want to let Him in. What area is off limits? But if you've answered why you're here, then it'll be pretty easy to figure out if you're all in. And if you weren't here for the right reasons, chances are you won't be willing to go all in. So in defining our relationship in Jesus, we've asked, why are you here? Are you all in? And then the third question is simply this. Have you made it your own? Have you made it your own? You know what? Many of us, maybe a lot of us, maybe most of us, maybe all of us, I don't know. But maybe most of us here this morning started going to church back in the day sometime because of a parent. How many? How many of you in church today because of your parents? Okay? Mom made you. Dad said you had to. I grew up in a house where, it's like if you're not puking and you're not running a high fever or any of that stuff, something happened at church, you had to go. I mean, you just basically about had to be on your deathbed to miss church. I mean, that's kind of home I grew up in. And there just wasn't another option. Or maybe you started coming to church because of a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe had some influence on you, and maybe you came because they liked it, and so you came because you knew they would like it if you came with them. And you came because it appeased them. And for those of you who grew up in the church or who attend church in order to appease a significant other, a relative, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, you know what? It can be really easy to become a fan. Amen? It can be really easy to become a fan. And that can happen to us in church. We keep coming to appease somebody else. And pretty soon we kind of get into the flow of things. We know most of the songs. We may even recognize most of the stories or the teachings. And we're kind of fans of Jesus. But that can be the most dangerous kind of situation to be in. The reality is, somebody like me who from day one, I can't ever remember not being in church when I was growing up, ever. I don't hardly remember ever missing a service. And back then it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know, the whole gamut. But you know what? I realized that when I was growing up, it was easy to identify with being in the church because mom and daddy were in the church. And after a while, that seems like, okay, that's good enough. But you know what? I can't rest on mom and daddy's faith. I can't bank on eternity because of my family members' faith. At some point in time, I had to make it my own. Young people, someday, if you haven't already, you're going to have to make it your own. Yeah, it's great you're here because mom and daddy says you got to do it or else. But someday, you got to make it your own. And it's easy to come week after week and begin to create a faith. Maybe that was somebody else's in the first place. And we can easily get numb to the real thing. We can throw out a few favorite verses. Some of them that require no sacrifice or personal change. But you have to make your faith your own. You see, Jesus isn't looking for a relationship between you and your mom and Him. And He's not looking for a relationship between you and your wife or your husband and Him. He's looking for a relationship with you, with me. And that may be one of the reasons Jesus said these words in Luke 14:26. Listen to this verse. Listen very carefully. He said, "You cannot be my disciple unless you love me more than you love your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters. You cannot come to me unless you love me more than you love your own life." That's pretty powerful. You have to make it your own. You see, this isn't about your mom or dad. This is about you and Jesus. So I want to encourage you in these Sundays that's coming along. I want to encourage you, really search your heart. And I know it's easy for those of us that have been in the church for years and we go through the motions and we're here week in and week out and we kind of sing the songs and we listen to the sermons and we go to the classes and we participate in the programs and all of these kinds of things. But beyond all of that, why are we here? Why are we here? Are we all in? And have we made it our own? You see, I believe the difference between a fan and a follower makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. It's the difference between going through the motions and truly experiencing a dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in the days ahead, we're going to explore this thing a little further. Are you a fan or a follower? I believe that God today is looking for true followers. People who are sold out and totally committed to follow Him. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank You again today for the privilege of standing here to share Your Word. Lord, I thank You for Your Word, the challenge of Your Word, the truth of Your Word, and the life that Your Word brings. Lord, help us in the days ahead to clearly distinguish where we are in our relationship with You. Help us, Lord, to clearly define, or maybe even have to redefine, our relationship with You. And help us to live our lives totally committed to being a follower of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.